Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by MyBookie. It's not every day you can double your money, but with MyBookie, you double your money instantly thanks to their double deposit bonus for all new users. With MyBookie's double deposit bonus, when you sign up at MyBookie.ag and use the promo code SPORTSDRINK, you'll instantly receive double your initial deposit so you can kickstart your betting experience with all the best games, leagues, and casino options to choose from. The Patriots are taking on the Bills this Monday night as they continue their quest to reclaim the AFC East title. Buffalo has looked like a legit Super Bowl contender. However, look for them to cover the spread. Set yourself up for success by doubling your first deposit when using the promo code SPORTSDRINK at MyBookie. That's promo code SPORTSDRINK to double your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000. Bet anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
What's up, guys? Sorry for the delay. I promise this is not going to become a trend where the episodes are constantly a day late and things like that. I just I got to watching the Thursday night game and dozed off and just went to bed afterwards. And that's not the first time that's happened. Usually what I do is then I get up a little bit early on Fridays because I work from home. So I get up a little early to crank out the show before I start work, and for whatever reason, I slept through the alarm that I set to do that, woke up at the regular time, was busy all day at work, so I never got a chance to get away to, like, crank this out on my lunch hour, so I'm doing this as I'm finishing my work day for the week, and, it turns out this was kind of a small blessing in disguise because I have information today that I wouldn't have had last night or even this morning if I had recorded the show this work, like before work, like who our starting quarterback is and other injury news and things like that. And one injury in particular I'm going to have a problem with. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. But so we're going to go ahead and crank this out so we can come out on Friday night. And you guys have all night Friday and Saturday and into Sunday before the game to absorb this. So let's go ahead and get it done. This is the Week 13 Deep Dive Preview episode of the Bears Talk Underground. So let's get to it. Hang up the telephone. I hear the dial tone ringing out loud. And I don't know. So I got to admit, even before today's injury report came out, I was not looking forward to this matchup, against the Cardinals. They're 9-2. They do well everything that we struggle with. And it just seems like they are the ultimate bad matchup for us, or at least that's just the way it feels for me. So not a lot of excitement wrapped around this game other than the 10-day drought without our beloved Chicago Bears ends at noon on Sunday when the Cardinals come to town and take on the Chicago Bears. What's going on, everybody? Larry D back, the Week 13 Deep Dive Preview episode of the Bears Talk Underground. And like I said, the blessing in recording it on Friday night after I get off of work is that I have information now that I wouldn't have had if I'd recorded this show on Thursday night like I usually do, or even on Friday morning, which I do on occasion before I start work. So, the injury report, the Bears have completed their week of practice. The injury designations have come out, and we do know now that our starting quarterback on Sunday will, in fact, be Andy Dalton instead of Justin Fields, who is still nursing the bruised ribs, and if I'm not mistaken, is listed as doubtful on the injury report. Yes, he's listed. He was limited, so he practiced all week, Thursday, Friday, and he was limited all week long. is listed as doubtful. So let's just go with that while we're here. Mario Edwards, Marquise Goodwin, Akeem Hicks, all out. Mario Edwards has a rib injury. Marquise Goodwin has a foot and rib injury. And Akeem Hicks has an ankle injury. Now, this will be the third game that Akeem Hicks has missed with this ankle injury. And I got to say, suck it up, man. Seriously, it's an ankle. If it's an ankle sprain, which is basically that's the information that we do have. He sprained his ankle against the Steelers. And that was, Christ, almost a month ago now. The Monday night game, whenever that was, I think like November 8th or something like that. Was it? Doesn't matter. Whenever the hell it was, second week in November. Then we had the bye week. Then we had the Ravens game. So he missed the Ravens game. He missed the Lions game, which not that big a surprise because it was only 4 days later. But now 10 days later and almost a month after having the injury occur, he's missing the Cardinals game now. And honestly, I've had my share of ankle injuries. And I've had some pretty bad ones too. And I've never had one that would keep me out for a month, month and a half, anything like that. So, granted, I didn't have them when I was in my 30s playing professional football or anything, but I weigh more. Hell, I weigh more than Akeem Hicks does now. I'm a big guy. So, when I suffered my last ankle injury somewhere in my mid to late 20s, I weighed more than Akeem Hicks does now, and it wasn't, 4 weeks before I was back playing, basketball or whatever, cutting on the floor and whatnot. I've always had an issue with people having these extended, unless you've actually like torn ligaments or something like that. And I doubt the Bears would give us that information. If that's the deal with Akeem, then I apologize. But if it's just a sprained ankle, put some goddamn tape on it and get your ass out there. That's how I feel. Well, like the ankle injuries, I've always had a problem with ankle injuries. I remember in high school when Curtis Conway was on the team, he had an ankle sprain that kept him out for 6 weeks. And even then, I remember there was a report before the game. The sideline reporter was talking to the guys in the booth saying that, Curtis Conway was going to play after being 6 weeks with an ankle injury. And he asked Curtis Conway how the ankle was. And Curtis said, and I quote, with doing the so-so signal with your hand. They're like, even after 6 weeks, you're still not 100%. Are you kidding me right now? So yeah, I've always had an issue with the ankle injuries because I suffered my share of ankle injuries, whether it was somebody like that, playing basketball a lot when I was a kid, that happened, which always pissed off my dad because I was a football player getting hurt playing something that wasn't my sport. But it happened a couple of times in football. Somebody landed on my foot in a way that it basically turned my foot so it ended up being an ankle sprain. That happened.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Happened to me more than once. I also, you know, it was typical that it happens in basketball, but I had a couple of times where I sprained my ankle stepping on somebody's foot, you know, that kind of thing. But I never missed a game from an ankle injury. There was one that I had that was real bad where I probably shouldn't have played, but because I sprained my ankle on Friday and I played on Saturday. Kind of thing. You could see me clearly hobbling around in the old tape that my dad has. But, you know, I didn't have the same spring in my step and everything, but it was less than 24 hours from the injury I was playing on it. I have a hard time swallowing that pill. I really, really do. And that 4 weeks out on an ankle injury, it's just, like I said, unless he's got torn ligaments or something like that, put some tape on it and get your ass out there. We need you. We need you. So, anyway, he's probably not going to be on the team anywhere next year, so it doesn't matter. Cole Kmet will be back. He was out, or he had a groin injury. He didn't practice Wednesday. He was limited on Thursday, full go on Friday. He was one of the few that was listed as full go. Allen Robinson did not practice with the hamstring. I have an easier time with the soft tissue injuries, because those are the ones you don't want to play with. The hamstring injuries, the quads, the, you know, the groins, that kind of thing. You don't want to rush back from those. You really don't, because you can re-aggravate it and make it worse, that kind of thing, which is something Akeem did earlier this year. You know, he had I believe it was a groin injury when the one where he left the Lions game so early after literally one play, and came back a couple weeks later for the Packer game and then re-aggravated the groin when he sacked Aaron Rodgers at the end of the third quarter. So that's something that definitely can happen. But this, he's listed as having an ankle injury, and it was all taped up like a mummy at the end of the Steelers game. And you're telling me that nearly 4 weeks later, it's still not good enough? I mean, he hasn't practiced at all and is out for Sunday. So no hopes whatsoever that he's going to play on Sunday. None. So, yeah, I don't buy it. I mean, I think he's still hurt, obviously, but it's an ankle injury. Put some goddamn tape on it and get out there. Like, there was an ankle. I mean, I know I'm, you know, talking out of my ass here, but I suffered an ankle injury during my playing days. I suffered a real bad one on Tuesday, and my trainer taped up my ankle almost like I was wearing a cast, where I could barely, flexing my foot up and down, I could barely do that. That's how tightly and securely this ankle was taped up, and this was at the high school level. You know, he taped me up. I went out there. He made me run a lap or two on the indoor track just to see how well I was moving on it. Told me I was good to go. You're playing tomorrow. We're going to tape it up just like that tomorrow. You're going to play. That's exactly what happened. So you're telling me that even after 4 weeks, they can't put a tape job on Akeem Hicks that'll get him back out on the field? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. So I think whatever pain he's got is all in his head. Roquan's questionable with a hamstring injury. He's listed as data, or Nagy said he was a game time decision. Allen Robinson still with the hamstring. Damian Williams, calf injury. So another soft tissue. Hasn't practiced this week. He's listed as out. Justin Fields, like I said, limited all week, doubtful. So that pretty much means he's not going to play. If he does, he'll be the backup. Tashaun Gibson, a chest injury, whatever that is, but he's been full go, so no harm, no foul there. And that's all we got. So, however, one other bit of good news, or at the very least interesting, is that Tevin Jenkins is going to be activated and will be available to play on Sunday against the Cardinals. So we might get to see our very first bit of action from him, Maybe he'll be the new Alex Bars. Get him out there for the overstacked line, or the unbalanced line. That's it. The unbalanced line. Get him to be the extra tackle, or even, God forbid, put the big kid in motion and have him turn the corner and block somebody, or something like that. Or we'll see. I'm curious to see how the Bears are going to handle that. We've got 6 games left. And, we want to know what we've got in Tevin Jenkins, with him being our second-round pick and drafted to be the left tackle of the future. I would love to see him play, but, do we throw we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when Jenkins was first designated to return, when he started practicing a couple of weeks ago. But, the scenarios and who moves where, who's the odd man out, and things like that. Do you move Peters down to the left guard and then slide Cody Whitehair into center, put Sam Mustafa on the bench, or do you just flat out bench Jason Peters so he can mentor and teach Tevin Jenkins and be more of a coach and kind of take the pressure off the old guy? He's like, hey, man, you got us to this point. We appreciate it. Go ahead and if you would, please keep helping us out with the youngster. But you're done. Maybe. I don't know. I want to know what I'm interested to see how the Bears are going to handle that, and how, if at all, Tevin Jenkins makes his first appearance in a Bear uniform this year. So, but it's exciting, something intriguing to look out for on Sunday. If you see 76 out on the field, that's Tevin Jenkins, believe it or not. I don't know if anybody remembers. That's actually the number he was given, was 76. So we'll see what we get from him if and when he does play against the Cardinals on Sunday. So something intriguing to keep an eye out for. Other than that, guys, the injury report was really going to be like the bulk of what I was going to talk about because of the Akeem Hicks thing with the ankle injury and stuff like that. I mean, we need this guy, especially this week. We need somebody like him plugging up the middle, caving that pocket in, especially if Kyler Murray does play, because I just saw today that the Cardinals are still kind of listing them as game time decisions. Him and DeAndre Hopkins would be a hell of a pair to have to contend with if they do end up playing on Sunday. But to be able to use Akeem to cave down that pocket and get Mr. Robert Quinn another chance to add to his sack total. And I bring up Robert Quinn because that's the one like hugely bright spot of news that we have this week. Robert Quinn named the NFC Defensive Player of the Month for November. He had 14 sacks, 14 tackles, 5.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, and a forced fumble in what, 3 or 4 games? 4 games, I think, for the month of November. He's the first Bear to win the award since November of 2018. I was going to say 20,000. Yeah, it's been a long day at work, kids. Since November of 2018, when Eddie Jackson won it. So Eddie Jackson, that was the month that Eddie Jackson had like at least 2 or 3 pick sixes for the Bears. I think he had one on Sunday night against the Vikings. He had another one on Thanksgiving Day against Detroit. That was basically the game-winning touchdown and what have you. So, congratulations to Robert Quinn. And I think this also puts him on a clear path to be at least a heavy contender for comeback player of the year. And I know that he played pretty much every down last year. He started 15 games for the Bears last year, but 2 sacks in 15 games. I know the comeback player is mostly for someone who suffered an injury or missed significant time, but I think this definitely puts him in contention for comeback player of the year after only having 2 sacks all of last year. So keep an eye out when that year-end award comes out, if Robert Quinn is in consideration, or at the very least, he should get some votes for it for sure, because Robert Quinn looks like the guy that we thought we were signing going into 2020. So, and it's just a pity that Khalil's foot injury sidelined him for the year, because when the two of them were out there together, they were literally the best sack duo in the NFL. So if anything, I think we've got all the reason in the world to bring Robert Quinn back for next year. We know we're keeping Akeem, the guy's on my mind, Khalil Mack for next year. So, you know, happy and healthy. Hopefully we'll see the two of them pick up where they left off as a tandem in 2022. So, and then the last thing for news and notes is more of like a conversation piece. And it's week 13 and we still have no idea what's going on with Tariq Cohen. Now, I'm not really putting this on Tariq Cohen. I'm actually putting it more on the Bears, and not as a like a failure in getting him healed up and all that kind of stuff, but with the fact that we have no idea what is going on. I mean, unless I missed something important, all we know is that he's still rehabbing the injury and, according to Matt Nagy, working his ass off to get back as soon as possible. But we don't know. There are people in the league, athletes, players, who got hurt, suffered the same injury that Tariq Cohen did after he did, that are playing, that started the season and all that kind of stuff. Tariq Cohen got hurt in the third quarter of the Atlanta game, week three of last year. So it's been more than a year. I mean, like I said, we're 10 weeks past the calendar year where he got hurt last season. Week three on a punt return, guy comes in, clips him in the knee, boom, ACL done. He's done for the year. And I remember saying in the review episode of that Atlanta game that it's almost it's like you hate to lose Tariq Cohen. You hate to see something like that happen. You don't want him out of your lineup. But him getting hurt week number three means that basically all the heavy lifting could possibly be over by the end of the season, because we got 13 games left to go and 14 weeks in the season. Turns out 15 with the playoff game that we were in at the end of the year. So, like, by that point, he's had his surgery. The healing has happened. So now it's rehab and strength training to get the knee ready to go and all that kind of stuff. We've kind of done all the heavy lifting. Now it's just a matter of getting the knee strong again so he can play. And we get to OTAs. He's not participating. We get to training camp. He's on the PUP list, so he's not practicing. But there's no update on what happened. Like, was there a setback? Was there a second surgery? Was there a third? Was there a second setback? Because, like I said, we are 10 weeks past the one-year anniversary as far as the NFL schedule goes. Week three against Atlanta last year. We're week 13 going on here in 2021, a season and a half later from when he was hurt. And the only thing that I personally have heard was from Tariq Cohen himself when he tweeted a couple of weeks ago. I guess basically he was tired of people talking about him or bagging on him for not playing. And his tweet was I'm paraphrasing, something in the regard of, you have no idea how much I miss playing football, and, you know, he's doing the work, or he's not listening to the outsiders or something to that effect. But he's basically saying that, you know, he's not keeping himself from the field. Because I think maybe that's what he was responding to. Like, people were making remarks about how, you know, well, if you'd spent more time rehabbing instead of playing video games, because I think he's on Twitch or something like that. I don't mess around with that, so I have no idea. But from what I understand, he's a big gamer, and, you know, he has a Twitch account and stuff like that. And people were making comments like, well, if you spent more time, you know, we know his thumbs are, you know, strong and ready to go and things like that. I think that's kind of what he was responding to. Like, if he wouldn't have been slacking off playing video games and rehabbing, he'd be on the field by now. So I think that's what he was, responding to. And like I said, I'm not faulting Tariq, even if that was true. I don't think he'd be gone almost two full seasons, you know, because we're only 6 weeks from him basically missing two full years of football with an injury, like I said, that players in this league suffered after he had suffered his injury, that are already back, some of which started the season, you know, playing and all that kind of stuff. So it's Yeah, I mean, I also remember talking about when we lost David Montgomery to the knee sprain week four against the Lions. I remember saying, hey, guys, relax, because, you know, David Montgomery is going to be out 4 weeks. Damian Williams is going to run the football. We'll get to see Khalil Herbert. And we're only a couple of weeks removed from when Tariq Cohen can come back, because he started the season on the PUP list, which means you're automatically out the first 6 weeks of the season. So two more games, and then Tariq Cohen will be eligible to come back. There hasn't been a peep about his status as far as, like, what happened. Nope, and nobody's talking about what happened. I think that's what bothers me the most. Like, if it was a setback, if there was another surgery, if the injury was far worse than they had, made us aware of back, and if it wasn't just the torn ACL, maybe he tore the meniscus, maybe he did this, maybe it was a second ligament torn, or maybe that's what happened and he suffered a setback when he was rehabbing and he re-injured the leg or something like that. You know, we just don't have any information. And I think that's where the frustration comes from Bear fans is that, like I said, there have been people, even, you know, obviously it's not harder to be a bigger player than Tariq Cohen when, you know, he's 5'6" and what have you, but other guys larger, you know, and all that kind of stuff, whose knees bear more weight than Tariq's does, suffered the same injury after he did, and are already back playing, and we have no return date in sight for Tariq Cohen, or at least not one the Bears have made us aware of. So it's not a rant against Tariq or anything like that. I'm not one of those people who believes that if he'd spent more time rehabbing instead of playing video games that he'd be on the field already. That's all nonsense, you know. But it is worrisome that he might miss basically a second. He'll miss the entire season here in a bit. It won't be much long that he doesn't, much longer that he's not playing at all. And with the possibility of a brand new GM and a new head coach kicking things off in 2022, we may never see Tariq Cohen in a Bear uniform again. So, you know, I think that the, because he signed the extension, which would have, this was the first year of the extension this season. He's got 2 years to go after this. And the Bears didn't sign him to like a mega contract or whatever. It was only, I think, like $15 million over 3 years or something like that. So it wasn't a break the bank kind of contract. It was definitely a nice raise from his fourth round salary to a, you know, decent $5 million per type of deal. But I don't think that the cap hit or whatever would be so severe that the general manager, whether it's Ryan Pace, or especially if it's a new guy, this is not one of Ryan Pace's guys. I didn't draft him. He hasn't played in two full seasons. Let's cut bait and, you know, we've got Khalil Herbert. We've got David Montgomery. Let's see if maybe we can scoop somebody up in free agency, or maybe you get another, Khalil Herbert in the draft to move on from Tariq Cohen, somebody that we can rely on kind of thing. I would hate to see that happen. So I really would love to see Tariq Cohen back on the field, back in a Bear uniform, but the longer that this drags on, the likelihood of that happening is decreasing by the second. So, but I would also love to know what the hell's going on. Like, seriously, what is it other than this vague ass, you know, description of him working his ass off to get better? Well, what's he working on? Did he suffer a setback? Was there a second surgery? Did they have to go in and clean something up? Has there been another procedure? What is going on with Tariq Cohen's knee? Why isn't he back yet? So, because I keep going back to the idea that there are people that suffered these injuries, the same injury after he did, that are already back and playing, and then some. You know what I mean? Some of these people that suffered the injury, you know, much later than he did, have been playing all season long, kind of thing. So that's the part that's bothering me. So, I mean, hell, David Bakhtiari suffered a torn ACL, I think, like, way late in the season against, because I think he was hurt. He got hurt before they played the Bears week 17. So it was a December injury. Yes, he did start the season on the PUP list, but he's already playing. I think he got hurt again, but he's playing. He has played. He got hurt 3 months after Tariq Cohen did, and he's made it back before him. So I think as soon as he was ready to come off the PUP list, he was playing for the Packers. So, I mean, talk about somebody who's bigger than Tariq Cohen. You know, David Bakhtiari takes dumps bigger than Tariq Cohen. Jesus Christ, the guy's a monster. So, but that's kind of like the point. You know, he's bigger and heavier, therefore his knees bear more weight than Tariq's do, and yet somehow he was able to go through his rehab process in a shorter amount of time and get back before Tariq Cohen did. So I find it worrisome. So it's like, I know that, you know, Tariq may have had an emotional setback over the summer because his brother passed away and everything. But I don't think that means it should have kept him out the entire goddamn season, which is what we're staring down the barrel of right now. Like, he's been gone so long, I think people would have to, you know, God forbid he goes out on the field. There's going to be people out there who need to be reminded who number 29 is. It's like, 29? Who the hell's number 20? Oh, that's Tariq Cohen. I'll be damned, he's still on the team. That's going to happen a lot if and when he does play again. So, come back soon, Tariq. We could definitely use the spark. You know, I hope everything's going well, and I hope to see you soon, so. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back with keys to the game and wrap this thing up. This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by MyBookie. It's not every day you can double your money, but with MyBookie, you double your money instantly thanks to their double deposit bonus for all new users. With MyBookie's double deposit bonus, when you sign up at MyBookie.ag and use the promo code SPORTSDRINK, you'll instantly receive double your initial deposit so you can kickstart your betting experience with all the best games, leagues, and casino options to choose from. The Patriots are taking on the Bills this Monday night as they continue their quest to reclaim the AFC East title. Buffalo has looked like a legit Super Bowl contender. However, look for them to cover the spread. Set yourself up for success by doubling your first deposit when using the promo code SPORTSDRINK at MyBookie. That's promo code SPORTSDRINK to double your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000. Bet anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie. This episode is also brought to you by Symbol. Symbol is the sports stock market that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. There are two ways to make money on Symbol. First, every time a team you own wins, you earn a cash win payout. Second, just like the stock market, if you think a team is going to increase in value, you can buy low and sell high for a profit. Use promo code SD, as in sports drink, to make your first deposit risk-free. That means even if you lose money or just decide the market isn't for you, Symbol will refund your initial deposit, no questions asked. This episode is also brought to you by the Spotify Green Room. Guys, the Spotify Green Room is a live, audio-only sports talk platform. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Get in on the conversation that you listen to here every single day and have a chance to be featured on your favorite podcast, like this one. Download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join my group. Follow me at Larry D-E-E. It's, I don't know why they didn't let me use D period, but they didn't. So follow me at Larry D-E-E to be notified when my room goes live every Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, and join me when we go live every Wednesday night at Club 34-7. Keys to the game for week number 13, our beloved Chicago Bears hosting the 9-2, number one seeded Arizona Cardinals. With or without Kyler Murray, with or without DeAndre Hopkins, this is a very, very good football team, a very well-coached team. And, you know, when you're coaching well, you are getting the most out of your player. Something that we all thought Nagy was that guy, especially in 2018, because this team, even after the Khalil Mack trade, I think everyone thought this was going to be maybe a 8-8, 9-7 kind of team. And they came in and just, you know, exploded into this 12-4 juggernaut that looked like, man, this team with this defense, we could seriously make a run at the Super Bowl. And then the double doink happened, and that was pretty much the death knell of Matt Nagy, because the NFL has seen him coming ever since. So all that creativity with the with the trick plays and throwing touchdowns to Bradley Sewell and stuff like that. And Akeem Hicks is doing 1 yard dives into the end zone and what have you. Defensive players are getting in on goal line situations and whatnot. It's like, where did that all go? I know we don't spend much time in the red zone these days or at the goal line, but still, be a lot of fun. I mean, I remember that play to Bradley Sewell. He was one of like five defensive linemen in the pattern or something like that. It was him and like Roy Robertson Harris and Bilal Nichols and I think even Akeem Hicks. They all went out for a pass on that play. I don't think one receiver went out for a pass on that play when Bradley Sewell caught the touchdown. So, you know, it's like that creativity and that level of fun and what have you is just gone. So, anyway, keys to the game. It's, you know, the first one is one that's pretty much going to be there until we stop doing this, and that is to stop beating ourselves. Stop with the penalties. Stop with the self-inflicted wounds. You know, to have a 15-yard run that's got called back because of a holding penalty or God forbid, goddamn taunting rule. We still lead the league in taunting flags. We haven't had one since Cassius Marsh, so there's the silver lining there, but I think we still have the most in the league as far as being called for the penalty. You know, we got to stop beating ourselves, dropping passes, and think, you know, blowing assignments like the Ravens game. You know, obviously some kind of miscommunication happened to leave, I think it was Sammy Watkins, wide open on that last play that got him inside the 5 yard line and things like that. Those are the things that are killing us. That also has a lot to do with coaching because the players aren't as prepared as they need to be in order to not make those mistakes. But, you know, we can't have that. We can't have a defensive holding penalty on third down when we've actually made the stop and where they were going to be punting, but instead they get an automatic first down. We got to stop giving the opponent things they didn't earn. And that's been something that has plagued the Bears the last three seasons, 2019, 2020, and once again here in 2021. We just haven't been able to get out of our own way. I don't think we're the most penalized team in the league, or I don't even know how far up the list or down the list, however you want to put it, we are. It just seems like our penalties are the most costly. You know, that's, you know, like we just, in the moment where we could least afford to have one, that's when the flags start flying for us. So, We got to stop that. And especially you got to do it against a great football team, which is what the Cardinals are. They're the best in the NFC right now. If the season ended today, the Arizona Cardinals are the only one in the NFC getting the weekend off, watching everybody else battle it out, and I'll meet you in the divisional round in Arizona. So, yeah, you can't afford to be making mistakes like that and beating yourself against a team that's already good enough to beat you straight up. When you play against a team like this where you are the inferior squad, you can't be making mistakes. Because one of the things that makes them the superior squad is being able to pounce on the mistakes that you make. Whether it's turnovers, whether it's penalties, erasing any mistake that they made, they're going to take advantage of it. Like, oh, you thought you had first and 10 on that one, and the penalty, you know, knocks you back to like second and 15. Well, here's another sack. Now it's third and 25. So, you know, that's what good teams do. That's what great teams do. That's what the superior squads do. They pounce on these mistakes when you make them, whatever they are. So the Bears have to stop doing that because they're not good enough. They're not good enough to recover from these mistakes. They cannot afford it. And yet it's been the death knell of just about every game so far this year. So that's key number one. Key number two is also very simple. Run the ball. Run the football. We have Khalil Herbert. We have David Montgomery. Run the ball. Okay? I know that Dandy Dalton had 317 yards passing against the Lions. There's the caveat of saying, but it was the Lions, so nothing to get exciting about. And it was only good enough to get us 16 points for the game. We beat the Lions 16-14 on Thanksgiving Day. So run the ball. Run the ball. Set up play action. Get Darnell Mooney running down the middle of the field, you know, on the play action fake. See if we can't hurt him downfield. But our good friend Jess Root, that was here with us the other night, talking about the, you know, like what would the Bears need to do besides beating themselves, besides stop beating themselves to beat the Cardinals. And he said, run the ball. You know, you if you have an effective run game against this Cardinal team, something that's what the Panthers did. The Packers had success running the football, and those are their two losses this year. Even when they got back behind early against the Vikings jumped out to a big lead on the Cardinals, and the Cardinals came back to beat them, but it was Dalvin Cook that was gashing them early for those big yards. You got to be able to run the football against these guys that can, if, you know, Murray and Hopkins do play on Sunday, we're going to want to run the ball to keep the football out of their hands for as long as humanly possible. I want as few drives as we can squeeze into a 60-minute game as possible for the Bears on Sunday, because we're having these 16-play, 8-minute drives and things like that. Just draining the clock dry. Because the more you do that, the fewer opportunities we're giving them, the less time we're giving them to hurt us with their passing game and what. And they actually all run the ball pretty well too. So, you know, which brings us to our third key, which was going off of what Jess Root was telling us. Because when I asked him, you know, what do the Bears need to do to win the game? Well, the first one was run the football. The second one was, and I loved how he phrased it, keep the offense off schedule. You know, keep the offense off schedule. So that's, you know, I think that, you know, turnovers obviously would be a big thing, because that's what cost them the game against Carolina, especially, was they came out, turned the ball over like three times in the first half, and the next thing you know, it's 17-0, and they weren't able to claw their way back from that one. But keeping them off schedule, not allowing them to get into an offensive rhythm, which is how we beat the Raiders in Week 5. Derek Carr and that explosive offense that the Raiders have, or that they have the potential to be, was never able to get off the ground against the Bears. They weren't able to hurt us downfield and things like that. The Bears they sacked Derek Carr three or four times in that football game. They were able to keep the offense off balance to where they weren't able to get their feet underneath them to get an offensive rhythm going, to really get cranking. That's how we beat the Raiders back in Week 5. That's what we would need to do against the Cardinals, whether it's Colt McCoy or Kyler Murray. Get in his face. Make sure that we're pressuring him. Make sure he's got to keep moving. And granted, he can possibly hurt us with his feet. That's how he won the Heisman back in the day. And he's a very effective runner, which I think is what would make it more exciting if Justin Fields was playing. Those two guys going head-to-head with each other, being kind of mirror images of one another. But, you know, we want to disrupt Kyler Murray. We want to get in his face. We want to get the balls batted down, you know, maybe cause some turnovers here and there. Maybe the first Eddie Jackson pick six since 2019 or however long it's been. Something like that to keep the Cardinals off kilter, keep them guessing like we did against the Raiders. That's the best example of when we were able to do that, was Week 5 in Vegas against the Raiders. So we did that to that very good offense, and we were able to walk away with a fairly comfortable victory in 20-9 over the Raiders, and we did that on the road. So imagine, you know, if the weather can be a factor on Sunday as well, that would be great. We've got a desert dome team coming into cold, rainy Chicago, Soldier Field in Chicago on Sunday. Maybe we'll be able to use the weather to our advantage as well. So, but with the Soldier Field turf being what it is, that might be the equalizer that just makes it all even out no matter what. We'll be slipping and sliding all over the field, same as they will. So, but anyway, that's what we got to do. Keep them off. I love the way he said it. Keep them off schedule, which is another way of saying that, make sure that they don't get an offensive rhythm going. And the Raiders being the best example of that. Like, that offense was expected to do so much more, even against our defense, but we never allowed it to happen. And we were able to use that to our advantage and get ourselves a victory against the Raiders, one that most people didn't think we were going to get. So we'll have to see if we can pull that off on Sunday. Let's lots of David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. And if we got to start getting David Montgomery involved in the offense, period. Never mind just running the football. He needs to be, a top option coming out of the backfield. And we don't see that enough. We don't see it either with Khalil Herbert. I don't know what kind of hands he's got. We know he can run the ball, but we need to see a heavy dose of those two. Maybe get some screens going with Montgomery, try to get him out in the open space where he's very dangerous, and see if we can't use that to our advantage on Sunday. So anyway, guys, that is going to do it. Appreciate your patience with me getting the episode out late, but we'll be back on Monday with Bear Up and Bear Down. Will there be any Bear Ups in this game against the Cardinals on Sunday? Come back on Monday and find out. And until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been the Bears Talk Underground.